This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon. Welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. This week has flown by. So we've had a lot to talk about, a lot going on, and we will continue. We will continue to get to it this afternoon. Jam-packed show today. Dan Lust, who is a sports attorney, is going to join here in just a few minutes to give us his take, and he has a very interesting and professional take on the Jeremy Pruitt saber-rattling in the media this week. Andy Staples is going to be on the show today from The Athletic, and Steve Hamer, the big fella, coming in to talk basketball with us in hour number three, jam-packed, ready to roll. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Russell. I'm chugging Mellow Yellow. And fired up, focused, and prepared.
Bear, are you calling me on a headpiece, an earpiece, or something? Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah. Does it sound bad?
Well, not anymore.
Is it real noisy? Sorry. I forgot to lift the microphone up in front of my mouth. I'm sorry. Rookie mistake, I know.
You damn amateur. You amateur.
I'm driving back from Las Vegas. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it back to Knoxville without crashing.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not driving. The guy who's driving is a maniac.
All right, so I apologize for missing your text or your tweet last night. I was sound asleep at like 9:30 at night. Just was gone.
You missed the game?
I missed everything. I missed it all.
Well, you missed three and outs, boy, going down and flying.
Yeah, first of all, pour one out for three and out. Jamie Chadwell, Nate and Houston had to put their pants back on after that one, sadly. You don't just stroll into Boone and waltz away with a W. The Chanticleers found that out the hard way.
You sure don't, do you?
No.
That was absolutely just delightful to watch that unfold last night.
I don't take any joy in it. I was pulling for Coastal Carolina, but the obsession, the three and out obsession, is hysterical to me. So I mean,
they always go back. I listened to them this morning. They took some shots at you and your love of all things PJ Fleck and rowing the boat.
How's he doing this year?
Not bad. I mean, he lost to that Bowling Green team that we beat the hell out of, but he's had I think a pretty decent year. I don't know. I may be talking out of my rear end right now. I don't know what their win loss record is. I know we did have a bad loss to Bowling Green.
Pulling them up right now. Hold on just a second. 4-2 with losses to Ohio State and Bowling Green.
I mean, the Bowling Green's a bad loss. I mean, if that and lost that one, it'd be 5-1 with only losing Ohio State. I feel like you're having a pretty solid year there.
Yeah, and the only reason they lost to Ohio State was their running back got hurt.
Yeah, but they're 4-2 and probably going to cruise to a pretty decent bowl game.
I would say so.
I would imagine. So,
So I missed.
So you woke up this morning
yeah.
to the tweet, huh?
I woke up to the tweet.
Yeah. Cody came and watched the game with me. Oh, God.
Get some. Get some.
You realize, Russ, they catch the chickens before they hatch, buddy.
It's not my style, Bear.
We've been it's here before.
It's a done deal this time. Nobody comes back from 3-1 down in a league championship series. The Cubs did.
Didn't the Dodgers do it since last year?
Nobody comes back from 3-1, Bear. The Cubs did and won a World Series. It's over. The Cubs did. O-V-E-R. Over.
Take that in your pipe and smoke it, Jake Miller.
Jake's on my side in this. You're a pseudo Braves fan, right?
Yeah, he's a Cubs fan.
You hop on this bandwagon with me. Got a soft spot for the Braves.
I don't. I think you guys are absolutely hysterical. But, yeah, Cody was hoping that you'd tune in so his Dodgers could pick up the win.
No such luck. Is game 5 tonight? Yes.
I believe so.
8 o'clock. I'll have to find something else to do.
Sounds like the Red Sox have come back down to earth, and the Astros are getting ready to just beat them into oblivion.
Can you, of course,
all the Red Sox fans are claiming they're stealing signals again.
Can you be a fan of a team and not watch their games? Yeah. Bear does it all the time.
Yeah. I do it with Washington football team for the past 20 years.
Can you be a fan?
Since,
we'll put the poll up. We'll put the poll in the field. Can you be a fan of a team without watching the games?
Is that your smoking hot question of the day?
Sure, why not?
Let's do it.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. So my funny feeling about the Alabama game I was telling you about yesterday, maybe it's the full night's sleep I had last night. It's starting to evaporate.
Oh, the funny feeling you had?
I had a funny feeling all week.
I was wondering if you had been, you know, getting in the hippie lettuce, the, you know, Mexican
I'm not a grass expert.
Smoking a Jaybird.
You know, I'm not the kind.
Turning a fatty.
I told you, I do not. I'm not the guy to get all amped up about the Alabama game. And I've not taken this game seriously in quite some time. I've not thought Tennessee was going to beat Alabama for well over 10 years. Probably 2007 was the last time I thought Tennessee would beat Alabama. So I've.
Oh, I still get worked the hell up over it.
I'm not that guy. But I had a funny feeling about it all week long, and I don't know what it is. I mean, it sounds like Hooker's going to play. You would think that would be a shot in the arm, but I don't think he's going to be 100%. And I don't know. I just it's Alabama. Maybe if it were here, it would be a little bit different story. Probably not. But being down there at night, hostile environment, quarterback not quite 100%.
I kind of feel like if we were healthy and it was here, that I would like our chances against them.
To win?
Yeah. Heupel's got me sold on this offense. If everybody's healthy, if he's got his offensive line healthy and Tyon Evans is healthy, I'll take my chances with Tennessee scoring.
Well, and that's the problem, is they're not healthy. And
yeah. They're not. It's just so unfortunate because they were. We got a glimpse of what they can be when they're healthy.
Well, it's exciting to think about for the future, though. I mean, if they can get, I still think switching strength coaches and just the transition has something to do with it. And I think next year they will not have as many of these problems.
I mean, the linemen, some of it's just horrible luck. It's not that there's anything wrong with Cade or Cooper. I mean, they just had the bad luck to get rolled.
Yeah, I think some of these problems will dissipate next year. Anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. That's my hope. Folks, we are live this afternoon in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. You want to go and get signed up for the GNJ giveaway all day tomorrow. We're going to be giving away fabulous gifts and prizes, including interior and exterior car detail jobs, ceramic pro coatings, clear bra, and what's the other thing we're giving away, Jake? It's so many I can never remember.
Window detail, ceramic coating, car bra.
Window tints. We're giving away window tints, too. All you have to do to win is go to fanrunradio.com and click on the prize you want. Give us your name, phone number, email, and then there's a drop-down menu. If you want the car detail, you click on that. If you want the window tint, you click on that. We're giving away one prize in the morning during three and out. John Reed's giving away a prize tomorrow, and then we'll be giving away the last one about 5 o'clock tomorrow. So you've got about 24 hours, folks, to get registered. Again, go to fanrunradio.com, click on the GNJ giveaway tab, and get registered to win fabulous gifts and prizes. We gave away that ceramic pro coating last week. Package valued at $600. $600 prize.
Wow.
Given away.
Which one would you pick if it were you?
I mean, probably that. Probably
with
that.
The ceramic on your new car.
Yeah, I mean, they go in there with the foam spray and get all the contaminants off your car, wash it down really good, use the clay bar and everything so that there's nothing on there.
Not a blemish.
And then they go back over with that coating, and
it's
remarkable.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. Coming up, we're going to talk to Dan Lust. He's at Sports Law Lust on Twitter. Sports attorney heard across ESPN, CBS, and Fox Sports national programming. He is the go-to for issues in sports when sports and the legal world intersect, as they have this week with Jeremy Pruitt. And we will ask him, in his professional opinion, is this something Tennessee should be worried about? Should they just cut Jeremy Pruitt the check to be rid of him? Or is this just a frivolous lawsuit? We get his professional opinion coming up next right here on The Drive. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Dan Lust is a professor at New York Law School and host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast. Joining us now on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Dan. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Russell. Pleasure to join you. And, I'm excited to break down some sports law with you today.
Yeah, man, want to get your thoughts on the situation we've got developing here at Tennessee. But first, just curious, how did you go from the legal world? How did you find yourself in the sports media landscape?
Well, maybe a little under the radar. I used to work in the public relations department for the New York Football Giants, so made some contacts over there. And then, I just started talking a lot about these sports law cases. So, the media eventually found me, and now I pop on shows across the country and parachute in to talk some sports law.
Well, our guy Jeremy Pruitt is working for the Giants now.
He is. I did see that. I don't think he's going back to college anytime soon.
I don't think so either. And it should be noted, full disclosure, Dan comes with the Christopher Gabriel seal of approval, which carries a lot of weight around here, Dan. So if you're in with CG, you're in with us, as far as I'm concerned.
I'll take it. CG is the man.
No doubt about it. All right, Dan, your thoughts. Jeremy Pruitt, his attorney, doing a little saber-rattling in the media. Your thoughts on what you've heard so far about the situation in Knoxville?
So let me preface it with this. I am not from Knoxville. I have no connection to the university. And I just, I call it like I see it. Sometimes I'm on the player side of arguments, coach's side. Sometimes on the school side. I just, call it like I see it, right? There's a lot of bark. Right? There's a lot of bark going on in these letters from Michael Lyons. What he's doing is not so atypical, right? Just take this out of sports for a second. And think, if you had a really big lawsuit, right, and you were, you know, you told your lawyer, hey, what's the plan here? Do we want to settle this or take this to trial? The lawyer, like I sometimes tell clients, I say, well, if we take it to trial, there's going to be a lot of expenses, right? You're going to have to maybe pay for experts. You're going to have to pay a lot of money. And then there's no guarantee of winning or getting paid anything at the end of the day. Plus, this could take years, maybe 3 years to 4 years to get all the way to the end of a trial. So you're not going to see a dime until then. Alternatively, what sometimes I tell my clients, sometimes maybe more often than not, I say, we should try to approach this as a pre-suit settlement. Let's try to get this thing settled. It's not going to cost you anything. We don't have to pay any experts, and we can get this done. Now, I'm sure those conversations were occurring between Lions and Tennessee. I think we can discern as much. And Tennessee seems to have said, yeah, sounds good. We're not paying you anything, so do what you want to do. So now we're kind of at this point, right? Lions could have said, and that Lions is Pruitt's attorney, hey, sounds good. I'll put into suit. See you later. He has not taken that route, and he's saying, well, I'm going to double, triple, quadruple sue you unless you settle up with me before October 29th. So, Russell, to me, this sounds like someone that does not want to put this case into suit for whatever reason. I'm not seeing a lot of substance in this letter. I'm seeing a lot of bark, not that much bite.
So this level of rhetoric from a plaintiff's lawyer in this type of situation is atypical, at least as far as cases that are going to be successful, in your opinion.
I mean, it's not that atypical to make this type of a threat. Hey, I'll go public with something, but what is odd, right? And I've dug a little bit into the reporting on Pruitt's contract. There are 30 separate, justifiable reasons to fire him for cause. One of them being if he's underneath his helm, that there's likely a finding of level one or level two NCAA violations. Or there's one that I posted that you saw in my tweet. If there's employees underneath him that he fails to control, it's like a pretty low standard. So you would think, right, if there is some really good case that he's going to have for wrongful termination against the school, you lead with the bite, right? You lead with your best shot here. You really don't want this case to go to trial. You put your best argument in this letter. We don't have that, right? And this is where I think it's a little unprecedented. We have a scorched earth scenario, right? They're bringing in Barnes, they're bringing in Fulmer, they're bringing in donors, bringing in former players, hitting them with these preservation requests. So, it's a lot of bite, right? It's a lot of bark. I would have hoped to see some substance in there. So, Lyons, he's done this before with Beatty over at Kansas. He had that settlement for, I think a $2.5 million buyout settlement. But I don't know. I'm not seeing the substance here, and it's just an odd strategy. Say, hey, I'm going scorched earth. I'm going to cripple the university. Okay, but where is your case, right? You can't just throw threats around. Where is your actual legal case? And that's, I think, leaving a lot to be desired.
Isn't the fact that he's already named Rick Barnes and several of these other people, prominent boosters, that I'm sure Tennessee does not want to see their names dragged through the mud, is that enough to get Tennessee to the negotiating table? Say, look, if we can get out of this entire situation with a small fraction of the settlement, just make Jeremy Pruitt go away. We don't have to deal with this. Isn't that worth it at some level?
Yeah, I could see that, and I think that's probably a conversation now. Do we want all of our different coaches being dragged through the mud here? But then again, right? I hate to use this expression, but I think it's important. If you're Tennessee, right, and it seems to be there's some bad blood between Tennessee and Pruitt at this point, but you would say, okay, maybe we could pay him. But do we want to set that precedent that if someone comes in here and threatens, and this is a quote, right, to cripple UT, why do we want to reward that person? We have an expression, obviously, in the U.S. government, we don't negotiate with terrorists, right? We negotiate with someone that's coming in and going scorched earth and going to blow up the university. That sets a horrendous precedent. So you can make the argument both ways. And then, Russell, how about this, right? Barnes' name is already attached to this. Fulmer's name is already attached to this. There's another argument that says, well, the cat's out of the bag, right? Barnes is already dragged into this and a lot of different people at the university. What more harm could be done? So certainly could be seeing that. And I think, right, just worth mentioning, just because he's threatening to bring these people into the lawsuit, right, or I guess get discovery from them, certainly there's mechanisms for Tennessee to control the lawsuit, seeking confidentiality orders and kind of a gag order on the case. So just by nature of them being involved maybe in discovery doesn't mean that the actual allegations will go public. So just keep that in mind as well.
Sports attorney Dan Lust is our guest this afternoon. Dan, what's the difference between what Pruitt is threatening to do and, I don't know if it's blackmail or extortion, or if they're the same thing?
You're not wrong. I'm seeing that word, right? Extortion is put it this way. If you make threats against someone and someone gives you something in exchange, right, you can call that extortion. Here, in order for this lawsuit to be brought, and let's see if it actually is brought, but if you do bring a case, you have to have a case with some merit. You're not allowed in our legal field, and Michael Lyons, the attorney for Pruitt, acknowledges this. It's unethical to bring a case that has no legal merit, there's no actual case here. You can't just file a lawsuit for the purpose of threatening somebody. But if there's a case here, he's certainly allowed to do this. It's just an odd way to go about it, right? He's leading with the part that sounds a lot like extortion. If we read this letter, right, if we read the letter and said, you know what, this might really make UT look bad, it might cripple UT, but at the end of the day, we don't believe that this is likely to lead to level one or level two violations. We want to change the word likely. And Tennessee hasn't been hit with any level one or level two violations, and we don't feel like they will, and we think we have a really strong case. And, separately, incidentally, this might make Tennessee look bad, right? That's a completely different narrative. He's leading with the other part, the part where Tennessee's going to get crippled. So, you're just asking me, right, does he have a really strong case? I don't know. You lead with your best foot, and he's leading with the threat part, he might have a good case behind the scenes, certainly not, showing his hand and saying that.
Dan, they said in the letter they're giving UT until the end of the month to come to the negotiating table, and if they don't, at that point they would proceed with the lawsuit. If that happens and UT stands pat and does not negotiate with Pruitt and they go forward with the lawsuit next month, what happens then? How long a process would that be if this were to actually go to court?
Yeah, first of all, there's a couple levels of this, right? There's the part where you file the complaint. He's not saying he's going to file a lawsuit on the, October 30th, October 31st. He's saying that that's the point of no return. Part of me thinks that if they're somewhat close, that ultimatum will come and go. We won't see a lawsuit necessarily that quickly. But to get to depositions, right, to get to some real discovery, exchange of emails and whatnot, that process could take certainly over a year. And if you do get all the way to trial, it could take, 2-3 years, if not more than that. So it's not going to be resolved anytime soon. Just a point of reference, right? 99% of cases find a way to settle. They either settle before the lawsuit's filed, they settle before depositions, or before the trial. So we have a lot of checkpoints before this gets to a full-blown trial. But to your point early on, Russ, I think your motivation is correct. I don't know if Pruitt's going to get $12 million, but maybe there's a number, right? A number closer to a million, right? Maybe it's six figures that Tennessee will offer up to make this go away and preserve the secrets. I don't necessarily know if there's anything out there, but certainly not a good look for this lawsuit to be kicking around, whether or not there's merit to it. But, we're having this conversation, and I'm sure Tennessee wants this conversation to die down.
What about the other way around? Pruitt threatening to embarrass Tennessee publicly. Can Tennessee make it equally uncomfortable for Pruitt? For example, if they did get into a discovery phase or into court, could they potentially have Pruitt on the witness stand or in one of those depositions you see online? Could they ask him about things that happened, for example, when he was an assistant coach at Alabama? Did you see any of this stuff going on? Potentially drag his friends there into this as well.
Right. That's kind of the fun part about this case, because I guess what Tennessee would try to argue is, if you're trying to really make him look bad and apply the pressure on him to make him kind of voluntarily discontinue the case, you dig into his past. You maybe try to find emails like we're seeing in I'm following this with the football case very close to the Washington football team with John Gruden. But, there's always a trail of emails that could be around and possible. Let's say there's some indication of kind of like toxicity at Alabama when he was there, and Tennessee can find that in the emails and say, hey, you did this in your past and you brought it over here, right? That's I think, the concern. And then, for Pruitt, I think he's got to be very careful. And again, I don't know the guy. I don't know the lawyer involved. But for someone that wants to work, I imagine back in college football, that's his bread and butter. It doesn't really look good if he's at a, job interview at some maybe Power 5 school. And on his resume is that he went scorched earth on the school that paid him a ton of money, that he was here, for a number of years. So, yeah, I think if that's in your arsenal as a potential head coach hire, I think a school will think twice if they're going to hire him. If things go bad, he's going to throw everyone under the bus, even the basketball coach, right? Even donors, even former players. In the fraternity of college football, that just doesn't happen. So even the threat of it, I think, is going to leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. So, yeah, well, I mean, certainly it's already an issue, and if it, whatever comes up in discoveries is only going to kind of help that argument that he's not going to come back to college football.
Maybe he already thinks that part of his life is done at this point anyway. There's no coming back to the college game anyway. And it's either a fight for whatever you can get out of UT or leave it type situation.
I guess so. I mean, if you just read the allegations on their face, like right when a couple months ago when the story first popped up, I don't know, there's level one and level two violations in a number of campuses across the country, not just strictly to football. And people get jobs again. It happens. People, there's sanctions, and people get other jobs. But very few people, if any, right, say that I'm going to bring down the whole school and allow their lawyer to say I'm going to cripple the university. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about unprecedented. That's truly the unprecedented part. Not necessarily a lawyer, you know, making a threat, hey, I'm going to sue you unless you settle by October 29th. That happens. But threatening to blow up the entire school is an odd look. It's certainly a strange look, and why I decided to dive very closely into this case.
Dan, thanks for providing your expert analysis on this. Very good stuff. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, Russell.
Dan Lust, sports attorney. Conduct Detrimental to the Team is his podcast. Just Conduct Detrimental is the podcast. He's a professor at New York Law School. And some interesting stuff there on the Jeremy Pruitt situation. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crown Cleaners for over 60 years now. Crown Cleaners providing imperial dry cleaning service to all of Big Orange Country. The Crown Pick of the Week contest is live on Facebook. I always like the Alabama Week Crown Pick of the Week contest because, it's the only week that, like, nobody picks Tennessee to win. Although I guess you could make a Price is Right type gamble and pick the Vols to win and kind of increase your chances and if the unthinkable were to occur. But, we get some different type of responses this week. Go to facebook.com/thedrivewithrussellsmith. Give our page a like if you haven't already, and give us your score prediction for the Vols and Alabama. Closest score prediction wins fabulous gifts and prizes courtesy of Crown Cleaners. We're going to take a quick timeout right here. We'll be right back with your phone calls coming up next here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio. The drive continues. Dan Lust, sports law attorney. Bear, what did you learn?
Quite a bit, man. That guy's sharp. The one thing that he did mention that I wanted to touch on, he mentioned that this guy who Pruitt hired did get a settlement out of Kansas. But the big difference, Russell, is that he had actual evidence that contradicted what Jeff Long fired Beatty for. He had a video of Les Miles doing the same thing in practice that Jeff Long used as one of his reasons to fire Beatty for cause.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got anything that any kind of magic bullet like that, just going off what that guy fired off yesterday.
Well, and what Pruitt's accused of is so far beyond what that guy, I mean, I don't know all the Kansas details, but if that was the crux of the issue, quality control guys, people who are supposed to be off-the-field assistants, coaching on the field, that seems like such small – everybody does that.
Yeah. Pruitt did. It was Fulmer.
But to have, Tennessee –
allegedly 50-plus level one, level two violations.
Well, and it's extra benefit stuff, if it's paying players and stuff like that, I mean, that's
– yeah, I mean, we're talking cash in McDonald's bags, allegedly.
That's the cardinal sin of college athletics is you don't do that. Sure. How worried are you, as we sit here today in late October, how worried are you about the NCAA stuff?
I'm not, especially, and I'm glad, I'm really happy that he's coming back on the drive again after a long hiatus. But Andy Staples wrote a really good article. It's on The Athletic. I strongly urge everybody to go read it. And it's kind of the, run the clock out that the NCAA makes no money off college football, And they're basically, you know, what I took from it was they're kind of impotent. They have no power. I'm not really that worried. And the other thing that I would say about that deal with yesterday, it'd be a cold day in hell before I started calling out people, like threatening people and trying to blackmail guys like, you know, men like Larry Pratt, Bobby Mays, and some of the other people on that list, Rick Barnes. Those are serious, serious, you know, men who aren't going to just sit around and let somebody just besmirch their names.
Texas basketball coach Chris Beard says he's giving up beer this season as part of a, quote, sacrifice for the team.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Didn't he get into some kind of trouble recently? Do you have a DUI?
You're thinking of Mark Few.
Oh. I thought Chris Beard had some trouble.
Not that I'm aware of.
Giving up beer, what is this, Lent?
No, he's focused on his first season at Texas, and he wants to hit the ground running. They got like six or seven transfers this year. I mean, they're like us in football. Half their team is going to be transfers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how it's going to be now. I think college basketball, it's always been a transient sport, Russ, but I really think that it's going to continue with the way the transfer portal is. We got a glimpse of it with football this year. God knows what's going to happen with basketball. These guys used to bounce around all the time anyhow. But yeah, I did see that with Chris Beard. It reminded me of the coach in Dazed and Confused that wanted Randall Pink Floyd to sign his commitment letter to a drug-free season in 1976, Russ.
Say that again?
In the one of the all-time, it's on my Mount Rushmore movies, Dazed and Confused. The football coach wanted Randall Pink Floyd, the quarterback, to sign his pledge to a drug-free season in 76.
Movie's so overrated. How can you enjoy?
You'll shut your mouth.
How can you enjoy that movie and you won't even watch Hoosiers?
Hoosiers is a pile of slop.
You've never seen it. You've never seen it.
It's about, you know, a bunch of white kids with saggy socks playing basketball.
You've never seen it.
Garbage movie. I'll never watch it.
You've never seen it.
Dazed and Confused should have won an Academy Award. It's one of the all-time greats.
But you understand how I've seen Dazed and Confused, so like my opinion that it's not as good, like that carries some weight, whereas you just talking out your butt about a movie you've never seen is ridiculous.
Well, no, because you're a complete simpleton. I mean, you think Big Trouble in Little China is one of the greatest comedies of all time. Well, don't do what you're doing, man. I hate when you do this.
I hate it when you do it. Changing the subject.
Oh, yeah, Bear. Total dork.
Well. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it'd be interesting to see what comes of this Pruitt stuff here towards the end of the month. But
yeah. Oh, real quick, the other thing that did jump out at me that Mr. Lutz said was, you know, if this isn't a settlement kind of thing, it's going to get really expensive for him and Pruitt. That's what I was trying to say yesterday, going up against Tennessee, who's got, you know, a lot bigger reserve to tap. I mean, they can bury them in paperwork and a lawsuit and just drown them with motions. And, I mean, who's going to pay for that?
Who's going to pay for this mess? Jeremy Pruitt, that's who. Folks, NFL Week 7 is upon us. FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night is a great opportunity to give it a try. That's tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Broncos, Browns. No Mayfield, no Baker Boy for the Browns. Who's the Broncos quarterback? I don't even know. But Case Keenum is on the scene, ladies and gentlemen. Is it still Bridgewater, or is he hurt yet? This is about the point in the season where Teddy Bridgewater usually gets hurt and misses a few games.
I think he's still good.
Bridgewater was out last week, wasn't he?
Ah, okay. Yeah. Folks, go build your same game parlay over at FanDuel. What do you like? Nick Chubb over rushing yards? You like the over total on the fourth quarter points? Could get a little crazy at the end of Thursday night football. Maybe you like the Broncos on the money line with Baker out. Hey, whatever your bet is, you can lock it in right now at FanDuel. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so head on over to FanDuel and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on the Sunday afternoon matchup between Houston and Arizona. You could win $150 on just a $5 bet. That's promo code DRIVE1. So they know I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on both mobile and web. If you got a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Our phone numbers. We open up the G3 Help Me Hotline to you. Is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Coming up, we will get your Rocky Top report, some updates on Hendon Hooker, and two names we have not heard in a while that might figure into Tennessee's football fortunes in the very near future. Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Oh, man, you kind of caught me with my pants down, Jake. I'm not going to lie.
Do you literally have your pants down again? What is it with you?
Yes. Instead of compiling the Rocky Top Report during that break, I've been obsessing over my fantasy team, which is riddled with injuries and bye weeks. Oh, my goodness. Complete disaster. All right. All right.
How's the champ doing if we're going to talk about your fantasy league?
Me?
No, the defending champ.
Oh, Nagy, he's terrible. Yeah. I don't think he's won a game. I'm dominating this league right now. All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. Hendon Hooker continues to trend towards maybe actually playing in this game, which is shocking when you consider the way things looked as he was hobbling. Not even hobbling, basically carried, couldn't put any weight on that right knee. And he's been out there every day this week, continues to improve. Apparently, it's just a big bruise on his knee.
Do you think it falls under one of those things? Sometimes the less severe a knee injury is, sometimes that it, the more painful it is. Because I know a lot of times when guys blow their ACL out, it severs all those nerves and they can walk on it. They don't feel the pain.
So, I don't know. I'm just glad it's not an ACL.
Oh, yeah, I was heart sick and actually physically nauseous when they carried him off the field. He's been such a breath of fresh air after the quarterback desert we've been in for the past few years with he who will not be named.
So maybe if we can actually, if Hooker can play this week, you get through the Bama game, what happens, happens, we'll see. You get 2 weeks, an extra, like a full week off it to hopefully heal that thing up and maybe be close to 100% by the time you go to Kentucky. That would be critical.
It's critical.
Yeah, we're going to need everybody going into Kentucky. We're going to have to be as close as we can get to being healthy.
Josh Heupel today said that D. Beckwith has had his best week of practice so far this season. So with all Tennessee's running back injury woes, maybe D. Beckwith makes a cameo this weekend against Alabama. What if he came out and just ran all over them?
Just went full on like King Henry beast mode. That would tickle me to death. Isn't he the kid? He's like Derrick Henry type size.
I don't think he's that big. I mean, he's like 6'3", 220. But
what's Henry, 6'4", and 250, 260?
Yeah, he's like 247, I think.
And runs like 25 miles an hour. That is just crazy.
And then the other guy, God, I almost called him Pruitt. Pruitt on the brain.
Cornbread.
Oh, God.
The other guy Heupel mentioned today, Kayron Calvert.
What?
He's been out at practice.
I thought he blew his knee out.
It was a bicep injury. And apparently that has healed up. And I don't think he plays this week, but they're talking about him like he could play. Since he hasn't played any at all this season, he could play the last four games of the season, Kentucky, Georgia, South Alabama, Vanderbilt, after the off week, and still retain that extra year of eligibility. So what a godsend that would be if he's able to round himself into playing shape over the course of the next 3 weeks.
That would be a godsend. If we could get him.
That is your Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. You can check them out online at boknowshouses.com. It's Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Call today to set up a free consultation, 865-742-1035 is Bo's number, 742-1035. Tell him I sent you. He will take excellent care of you. It's what he does. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, real estate the right way. Let's go and get a call from TJ, the Kentucky fan. Hello, TJ.
Hey, what's up, folks? How y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Hey, not bad. Doing some yard work. Hey, so me and my buddy was talking the other day. So you won a championship in football. Everybody wants one. But how bad do you want one? Who would you say your biggest rival is or was in football that you guys just absolutely hate?
Alabama.
Could you trade a national championship, but you had to wear the Alabama Crimson Tide colors for a year? So that pretty orange tee would be crimson for a year.
Dude, what? Yeah, like the team on the field would have to wear crimson colors?
Yes. I know, it's a hypothetical, it'll never happen, but like the other day he said, I'd do anything for my team to get a national championship again. He's a Florida State fan. He said, I'd even have the football team wear Florida Gator colors for a year. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I mean, Russ, my first instinct is to say no, but I did announce on air yesterday that I would enact Sharia law and put our cheerleaders in burkas if it meant beating Alabama again, so I got to say, yeah, I'll go for it, sure.
Bears trying to remain consistent. There's a first time for everything. You know the Meatloaf song a couple years ago, I'd do anything for love, TJ? I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Oh, no, I won't do that. I mean, are we even Tennessee if we come out in Alabama colors? The next season for an entire season? That's disgusting, man. Like, I feel lunch coming up just thinking about it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I couldn't picture that blue UK turning into that nasty Loserville red. I just couldn't do it.
I thought you were going to say orange. I was going to say you've already got our checkerboards.
Okay, so actually, you brought up a good point on that. So we came out with the black jerseys. You guys came out with them too. And I heard from Tennessee fans, because I was born and raised in Saudi Davy. You got the checkerboard. Do we really know who got the checkerboards first? Like, is it really that big of a deal? I don't matter. I hate the checkerboard. But is it really that big of a deal?
I don't think it matters who got it first. It matters that the checkerboard is widely associated with Tennessee football and has been for some 30 years, and Kentucky just started using it within the last dozen or so years.
I hate them. And I tell you what, our athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, says that the players love the checkerboard. Ain't a single player on the basketball team, football team, they've even gone on the radio, the players have, and said, we hate the checkerboard. And he won't change it. I don't know why.
Because Mitch Barnhart worked at Tennessee, and he knows that the University of Tennessee is superior to Kentucky in every way. and he secretly wants to be us, TJ. You know it. You know it's true.
He knows we own you guys in basketball, TJ.
Well, I got nothing for it. I ain't going trash talking.
I mean, you guys are trying to use Porsches and Ferraris to buy your way back into being able to compete with us in basketball.
Hey,
and it ain't going to matter. At the end of the day, we got Big Ricky Barnes from Hickory, and you guys got John Calipari.
Did you hear the story on that? Now, that is great radio. Porsche?
Why is that great radio? Kentucky's...
Hold on. Let it, please.
Players?
Go ahead, TJ.
Sorry.
Hold on.
Sorry,
Porsche
TJ.
Porsche of Louisville gave an NIL deal not to a Louisville player, but a Kentucky player. That is a slap in the face because the owner of that dealership, his dad, actually does Louisville sports radio.
Oh, no.
He made a business decision.
He absolutely did.
TJ, hey, thanks, man. We got to run.
Have a good one, man.
You too, man. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Jake's got your top four at four when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.